Hello, everyone, and welcome back. You're listening to another advanced lesson here on Open Language. My name is Spencer.
And my name's Adam.
And we are talking about...
Well, we got another book today to talk about.
All right, I love those books.
So today we're talking about a book called Zero to One.
Okay, so Zero to One, not like Zero to 60 in a car.
If you like drag racing, I think the idea is the same. However, the one, I guess we can talk about during this lesson.
Okay.
We should probably say who wrote the book.
Yeah, who did write this book?
This guy is named Peter Thiel. He is the founder of, or was the founder of PayPal.
Okay.
I don't know if he's still involved with the company.
Mm.
I think an early Facebook investor, Trump supporter.
Hey, good old boy.
And now an author as well. So this book's really been reviewed quite heavily, quite extensively.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people see this as, you know, like his way of telling us, you know, the reader, how to be successful in 2016, 17.
So kind of like a self-help book for wannabe entrepreneurs?
I think in a lot of ways, you know, people buy the book to...
Get insight, maybe?
To get insight, yeah, you got it.
Okay.
Okay, so as usual, we've got this broken up into two parts.
Mm-hmm.
These are all quotes from the book Zero to One by Peter Thiel.
All right.
Tolstoy opens Anna Karenina by observing, "All happy families are alike. Each unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. Business is the opposite. All happy companies are different. Each one earns a monopoly by solving a unique problem. All failed companies are the same. They failed to escape competition. Creative monopoly means new products that benefit everybody and sustainable profits for the creator. Competition means no profits for anybody, no meaningful differentiation, and a struggle for survival."
All right, so our lesson kicks off today with an author referencing another famous author. Tolstoy opens Anna Karenina by observing, "All happy families are alike. Each unhappy family is unhappy in its own way."
Okay, so a lot of people probably think observing just means look, right, or see.
Mm-hmm.
But this is, he's not looking or seeing, he's writing.
So wait, let me get this straight. So observing can be writing too?
Of course, yeah. That's something that authors can do. You know, scientists can observe things. Scientists don't just look, they also have to write it down, right?
Okay, so can we have an example maybe how to use that?
Sure. Copernicus observed that the Earth revolved around the sun.
Oh, right. Okay, and another way to use observe, right, has to do with holidays.
Yeah, actually, this was a user question not too long ago.
Mm-hmm.
If something is an observed holiday, it just means it's a public holiday.
And it's like maybe celebrated on a different day than the original day?
Yeah, because, I mean, in Canada, we have our own examples. But for example, 4th of July, right? If it's on a Saturday, that's kind of a bummer.
Right. If it's on a Saturday, I mean, all the celebrations will probably be on Saturday, but maybe people will have off from work on the following Monday.
Monday, right, yeah.
Yeah, so they might say it's observed on July 6th.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, okay, cool. Well, anyway, he starts off here, or we start off here talking about these families, but he says business is the opposite. All happy companies are different. Each one earns a monopoly by solving a unique problem.
So here's where we get to the one in the title, Zero to One. The one is monopoly, which is what Peter Thiel is all about.
Okay, so monopoly, basically, it's like a company that controls the entire industry.
Yeah, or the market, right?
That's right. All right, so, yeah, and it's also a fun board game.
I was going to say, yeah, it's a... I guess it's kind of fun. I like it.
Yeah, it takes a while.
It takes a while.
Have you ever finished a game of Monopoly?
Not in 25 years.
All right, cool. So we're also talking about creative monopolies here, which mean new products that benefit everybody and sustainable profits for the creator.
Right. So what Peter Thiel is talking about here is the difference between monopolies, creative monopolies, and competition.
Right. So what's a creative monopoly?
Well, creative monopoly is just like Facebook, right? Like
okay.
It's kind of like the nature of the product is a quote unquote creative thing. Whereas like if you had a monopoly on steel production.
But didn't Facebook rip off MySpace?
Sure. You will. I mean, you know, companies rip off other companies all the time.
Well, maybe MySpace was the creative monopoly until someone else came along and made their idea better.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Now, the point is here that Peter Thiel is saying competition is bad. Usually in America, you know, free market ideology, they always say competition is good.
Yeah. That's right. Oh, you need competition.
Right.
You know, maybe it'll lower prices and da-da-da-da. They say it's better for the consumer.
Yeah.
Which actually, in a lot of ways, it can be, but we're not going to get into the economics of it today. We are studying English here. So, competition means no profits for anybody, no meaningful differentiation, and a struggle for survival.
Okay, so differentiation.
Is this like difference?
It's like difference.
It's like a way of distinguishing.
It's pretty close to distinguish. Yeah, because differentiate really means two things. One is you can tell the difference, which is just like Spencer said, you can distinguish, but you can also make a difference, like differentiate yourself.
Okay, from others?
From others, yeah, exactly.
Okay, so you wear funny pants?
I was just thinking that. Like, in high school, I wore really stupid clothes all the time.
Just to differentiate
yourself? To differentiate myself from the other kids that were also wearing stupid clothes.
So there was a lot of differentiation involved in the clothing you wore in high school.
Yes.
Any other ways we could use differentiation?
Well, usually, like, differentiation as the noun is always just like you said with the high school example. But when we use the verb differentiate, it's pretty much always differentiate between something. So like when I first came to China, I lived in Guangzhou. And since I didn't speak Chinese, I didn't speak Cantonese, I couldn't differentiate between the two languages.
Okay.
Even though they're incredibly different, I just couldn't do it.
Okay. Now we have this word here right after, struggle. Struggle for survival.
Just fight.
Yeah. Class struggle, power struggle.
Power struggle at work.
Yeah. So a struggle, it just means to fight, right? Okay. I believe that does it for part one. Shall we go ahead and listen to part two?
We shall. Every monopoly is unique, but they usually share some combination of the following characteristics: proprietary technology, network effects, economies of scale, and branding. Every moment in business happens only once. The next Bill Gates will not build an operating system. The next Larry Page or Sergey Brin won't make a search engine. And the next Mark Zuckerberg won't create a social network. If you are copying these guys, you aren't learning from them. The most successful companies make the core progression to first dominate a specific niche and then scale up to adjacent markets, a part of their founding narrative.
And we're back. I just finished listening to part two there. So every monopoly is unique.
Okay.
But they usually share some combination of the following characteristics. What are those?
Okay, well, number one, proprietary technology,
okay,
network effects, and economies of scale. Oh, and branding
and
as well.
And branding. Okay, so proprietary technology.
Well, this word proprietary sounds an awful lot like property.
Yeah, so to kind of like be the owner of?
Yeah, it's definitely relating to ownership in some way. It's something you own.
Okay. So basically, this is saying ownership of the technology that they sell or promote or something like that.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. Now, network effects.
Network effects. All right, back to Facebook for a second. Facebook is valuable because lots of people use it. If people didn't use it, if not so many people used it, it would not be valuable. So when, you know, when I first used Facebook, it was in, you know, my university dorm room. Not so many people were using it. But then, you know, gradually as more people started to use it, then it became a multi-billion dollar company. You got to have those eyeballs first. You got to have the participation.
That makes sense. Okay. What about this economies of scale?
Kind of similar, right, in a sense. But if you guys remember your economics class, production, right? Production always has a cost.
Yeah.
And if you can get those costs down mm-hmm. by expanding production, mm-hmm. that is an economy of scale.
Okay, right. Makes sense to me. All right, so let's move along here. I like this here. He talks about, you know, Bill Gates and Larry Page and these guys. And he says, the next Bill Gates will not build an operating system. Right, the next Larry Page or Sergey Brin won't make a search engine, and the next Mark Zuckerberg won't create a social network. Okay, so he's not really talking about someone else named Bill Gates.
Right, yeah, like, hello, my name is also Bill Gates. I would also like to build that. No, yeah. It's just the way we always have to explain new things by relating back to old things.
Right.
Like who, you know, who will be the next Obama?
Mm-hmm. Who will be the next Kobe Bryant?
Exactly. So, like, if some dude just arrived out of nowhere and mm-hmm. was an amazing basketball player, like, mm-hmm. better than anybody ever before, we couldn't just say that, well, he's the greatest guy. We'd have to say, oh, he's, you know, the next Michael Jordan, yeah, the next LeBron, Kobe Bryant.
The next LeBron James.
Anybody. Yeah, it's not difficult, right? It's just something that makes you sound really kind of native.
Yeah, native. Makes your English sound good. Okay, so anyway.
The next Shakespeare. Sorry.
Okay, so moving along here. The most successful companies make the core progression. To first dominate a specific niche and then scale to adjacent markets.
Wow, it's a mouthful.
Yeah, right. A part of their founding narrative.
Okay.
All right, so let's go back to core.
Back to core. You guys working on your core?
Yeah. It's just the center.
The center.
The heart of things.
The heart. Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. What are some other ways we can use core?
Like I say, at the gym.
Yeah,
right?
Your core, your abs.
Your abs.
Your
yeah.
stomach. Another thing, apple core.
Apple core.
The center of an apple, not the company, the fruit.
The fruits, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Or the core of a relationship.
What is the core of a relationship?
Trust.
Trust.
Okay, yeah. All right, so now we have this other word here, dominate.
That is not the core of a relationship.
No.
Or it should not be the core of a relationship.
Hopefully not, yeah.
Because dominate basically means control.
Yeah.
Right? It's a little bit different because it's like really controlling.
Yeah, to be on top of something to let's see. If you are the ruler of a country, you might dominate the people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We could even say, like, human beings have learned to dominate nature.
Mm.
We think that we can dominate nature, right?
Nature's going to come back with a vengeance.
Right. Maybe she actually dominates us in the end.
Still does. Okay. Now we have this other word here, niche.
Yeah, niche is a fun word. It kind of just means your own little space.
Special little place.
Your little corner.
Right. So a niche, we use this for a lot of things. So like a niche market.
Okay, so that would be an adjective there.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, your niche market, a niche product.
Mm-hmm.
But you can also say, like, find your niche.
Yeah, create a niche.
Create a niche. So as a noun, we can also use this word.
Mm-hmm. So your special little place that's, like, just specific for you, something like that.
Right, exactly.
Mm. He really found his niche in life. He's working with his passion.
Okay, so maybe you guys are looking at this word niche and kind of thinking, like, it might be difficult to pronounce.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what is it? Niche. Just niche.
Yeah, niche. Okay, cool. Now we have this other word here, adjacent.
I think before we say adjacent, we did mention scale before as like economies of scale
mm-hmm.
As a noun, but we do often hear this as a verb in business, right? Mm. You got to scale up. So you start small and then scale up.
Mm-hmm.
Here we're talking about adjacent markets.
Mm-hmm.
Adjacent meaning...
like next to?
Next to, beside.
Yeah. Yeah, so adjacent's kind of like a fancy word for next to.
Yeah, you wouldn't like say like, you know, the girl adjacent to me. You could, right? It sounds kind of strange. But like adjacent property,
mm-hmm.
the adjacent city, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Most people would probably just say next to or the car beside mine.
Yeah. And anyway, so all these things here, core progression, dominating a specific niche and scaling to adjacent markets, this is all part of their founding narrative.
Yes, exactly. So let's once again go back to Facebook. The founding narrative of Facebook is, you know, hardworking Mark Zuckerberg in his college dorm room creates, you know, this product. People like to use it. It has a specific niche. Although Spencer's right, he did kind of rip off
MySpace.
But that's not part of the narrative, right? The, the narrative is that he, you know, he did this and then he got the investors, the, what are they called? The Winklevoss twins?
I don't know.
And then they started to scale up, right? Scale. And now they are Facebook. And this is all part of their founding narrative. Or in other words, their
story,
their,
of how it came to be.
Their story, exactly.
That's right. Apple started in a garage.
Yes, yes, exactly.
I guess Microsoft did too.
Yeah, the Apple narrative is, it's just as strong, right? It follows the exact same thing. They had a specific niche. They worked really hard. They dominated this area, and then they scaled.
Yeah, that they did. All right, so let's go ahead and listen to this one more time.
All right.
Tolstoy opens Anna Karenina by observing, "All happy families are alike. Each unhappy family is unhappy in its own way. Business is the opposite. All happy companies are different. Each one earns a monopoly by solving a unique problem. All failed companies are the same. They failed to escape competition. Creative monopoly means new products that benefit everybody and sustainable profits for the creator. Competition means no profits for anybody, no meaningful differentiation, and a struggle for survival. Every monopoly is unique, but they usually share some combination of the following characteristics: proprietary technology, network effects, economies of scale, and branding. Every moment in business happens only once. The next Bill Gates will not build an operating system. The next Larry Page or Sergey Brin won't make a search engine. And the next Mark Zuckerberg won't create a social network. If you are copying these guys, you aren't learning from them. The most successful companies make the core progression to first dominate a specific niche and then scale up to adjacent markets, a part of their founding narrative.
All right, so I have read a little bit about this book. I haven't actually read this book, but it sounds like a lot of the reviews, it has mixed reviews.
Oh, really?
Because a lot of people wanted him to just write a blueprint, you know, how to be successful. And I guess in some ways he does here, but it's pretty hard to, you know, find a niche, dominate that niche, and scale up here, right?
Yeah, you know, and also when I'm looking at these quotes, I too have not read the book, so, you know, forgive me if my opinions are wrong. But, for example, him saying, you know, competition means no profits for anybody or no meaningful differentiation, I mean, I think that's just his way of looking at things.
Right.
Really, I mean, you know, we hear it open language, you know, I guess we can have people that are perceived as competition, but, you know, we still have a loyal following and we do okay for ourselves.
It's you guys. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. But the point is, you know, right here, he seems to make it very cut and dry, his way of seeing things, whereas I don't think that's true. I mean, you can be a company with competition and still make money.
Sure, sure, sure. I think really what he is trying to do, or what a lot of these Silicon Valley guys are trying to do, is, I guess we could say, upend economic orthodoxy, which has always been...
You should put that in the supplementary vocab.
Those are all going in there, because that's a great little set phrase. Because the meaning is that, you know, again, we've always been taught that competition is good. Competition, like Spencer said before, you know, decreases the cost of production, which then, you know, decreases the price for the consumer. But these Silicon Valley guys, they're all about domination, right? You know, they're always... Microsoft went up against the government in the 90s. You know, this idea of anti-monopoly is kind of... it's kind of dying.
Yeah, I guess so. So let's see what the future beholds for us, both the businessman and the consumer. And we hope you enjoyed today's lesson, guys. And if you have any comments, or maybe you've read this book, we'd love to know what you think about it. So leave us your comments here at Open Language, and we'll see you next time.
All right, bye, guys.
For more English podcasts, stay tuned to 开言英语每天听.